Shalom Aleichem and welcome to the Shir Ilkutei Sichas Chelek Yud Aleph, Parshas Kisisa, Sicha Beis. So, Moshe has attained atonement for Klal Yisrael after the Chet Ha'egel. The Eibishter instructed him to then lead the people to Eretz Yisrael and lets him know that an angel, a malach, is now going to travel with the Yidden in the place of the Shechinah. Upon hearing this, Moshe tells the Eibishter, "You told me that you instructed me to bring the people to Eretz Yisrael. V'ata loy hoidatoni, and you didn't let me know that you're going to send an angel with me, and I'm not interested in this angel." So, therefore, Moshe asks that Hashem continue to travel, and he also asks, "Hoidieni nostrachecha, allow me to understand your ways." The Eibishter acquiesces, and he says that indeed the Shechinah will continue to travel with the Yidden. There'll be no angel. And Moshe then reiterates the importance of the significance of the Shechinah traveling with the Yidden, and makes the request, "V'niflinu, we should be distinct, the Jewish people, and the should have the exclusive revelation of the Shechinah. It shouldn't rest with any other nations." Hashem acquiesces to this request as well. Realizing that this is an Eis Ratzon, an auspicious time, Moshe asks the Eibishter, "Hareini no es kvoidecha, please show me your honor, your glory." And the Eibishter replies, he says, "Indeed, the time has come that I will allow you to see that which no other person has seen before. I will teach you how to daven." And if you look in here in the handout in text 3, Eibishter continues and he says, "Vayoymer, loy sucha lirei sesponai, you cannot see my face, ki lo yirani ha'odam, for no man can see me v'choy and live." Yoimer Hashem, and the Eibishter says, "Hine mokoim iti, there is a place, a designated place with me, v'nitzavto al hatsur, you will stand on the rock, and here's what we're going to do. V'hoya, and that will be, ba'avoyer kvoidi, when my glory passes, v'samticha b'nikras hatsur, I will place you in a hole in the rock. V'hasid, and then v'sakoisi kapi, and the Eibishter says, I will cover you with my hand. And after the Shechinah passes, v'hasidoisi es kapi, I will remove my hand. V'roisa es achoirai, you will see my back. Ufonai lo yedo, and my face you will not see." So, Moshe then follows through. He makes the second set of luchos. In the morning, he goes up the mountain, and Vayaver Hashem al ponov, Vayikra, and the Eibishter passes, and he hears all the 13 attributes of Rachamim, of mercy, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Vachanun, and so on. As soon as this is done, the pasuk records, "Vayimaher Moshe, Moshe hurried, vayikoit arza vayishtachu, and he bowed and he prostrated himself on the ground." This pasuk is the subject of our sicha. Moshe hurriedly bows and prostrates himself on the ground. Says Rashi, text 1. Vayimaher Moshe, Moshe hurried, says Rashi, kishiro Moshe Shechina oiveres, when Moshe saw the Shechina passing, v'shoma koil hakriya, and he heard the sound of the call, miyad, right away, vayishtachvu, and he bows down. Well, in this sicha, the Rebbe analyzes the question, what's bothering Rashi? What was unclear? Seemingly very simple. It was an incredible revelation. Moshe hurried and bowed down. What needs explanation over here? The Rebbe will offer two possibilities and then give the final analysis. Having done so, the Sicha will then provide new insight and detail into this unique moment of revelation to Moshe and the way Moshe responds. So let's go back for a moment. What's bothering Rashi? 13 attributes of mercy are revealed. Vayimahir Moshe. Moshe hurries and vayikoidortze, he bows on the ground, vayishtachavu, he prostrates himself. And again, Rashi says, vayimahir Moshe, Moshe hurried. Well, as soon as he saw the Shekhinah Iveres, he sees the Shekhinah passing, he hears the sound of the call, miyad vayishtachavu. What was the problem? What was not understood? So, one assumes that if Rashi has a problem, it's probably the same question, same problem that the Gemara had. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Taf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and the Gemara says, Vayimahir Moshe, Mara, what did Moshe see? What caused him to bow down? And the Gemara gives an alternative explanation, but Rashi seems to imply that he sees the Shekhinah and that's what causes him to bow down. That's the assumption. We must be asking Rashi's question, what did Moshe see? However, this clearly could not have been what was bothering Rashi. What caused Moshe to bow down? And the Rebbe tells us four reasons, from big picture reasons to very specific indications from Rashi that this is not his question. Big picture, number one, why did Moshe bow down? What type of question is that? Why did he bow down? On good news, one bows down. Thanksgiving, one is excited or thankful. As a matter of fact, we know this from the time when Moshe comes to the Jewish people and informs them that they should prepare a Korban Pesach while still in Mitzrayim, and that this service of the Korban Pesach will continue into the time that they come into Eretz Yisrael, and that they should teach this observance to their children. So, the Pasuk tells us, when they hear this, and it's in text 2, by Yikoid Ho'om, Vayishtachavu, the people bow and they prostrate themselves. And Rashi tells us, they're thankful for all the great news. They're going to be redeemed. They're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. They're going to have children. Good things happen. One thanks Hashem, and one thanks Hashem through bowing. So, something significant happened. Something incredibly magnificent just happened. The 13 attributes of mercy are revealed to Moshe. One would only expect that in the great act of thanksgiving, he bows down. That couldn't be what was bothering Rashi over here. As a matter of fact, question two, indeed, if Rashi was bothered why he bowed down, why doesn't he answer? In gratitude, he bowed down. And why wouldn't he have bowed down in gratitude? Why do we offer an alternative explanation? Number three, now we're going to talk about the Rashi itself, some indicators that this is not Rashi's problem. Well, one of the classic ways that the Rebbe analyzes a Rashi is to look at the Dibur HaMasechu. What does Rashi quote from the Pasuk? Because there he's telling us what bothers him in the Pasuk. And the Dibur HaMasechu, the quote from the Pasuk here, are the words, Vayimahir Moshe, Moshe hurried. Not the words, and he bowed down. And number four is a specific question in the Rashi. If you look back at text one, it says, Vishama koila kriya, as soon as he sees the Shekhinah passing and he hears the sound of the call, miyad vayishtachavu. Right away he bows down. So an indicator that it's not the bowing down that's bothering him, but it's the right away. So in summary, we have no question why Moshe bowed down at this very, very significant moment. That cannot be the question. So why do we have a Rashi? And what is he tell? What is he asking? And what is he coming to explain? Well, the pasuk didn't just say that he bowed down. The pasuk says, "Vayimahir Moshe." Moshe hurried and bowed down. So perhaps Rashi's explaining what was the hurry and why does the pasuk record "Vayimahir Moshe"? Moshe hurried, he bowed down. Why did he have to hurry? And perhaps Rashi is explaining that, you know, as soon as he hears the 13 attributes of faith and the Shekhinah is about to depart, it's about to leave, right away he bows down at this moment, as soon as, at the end of the revelation, as soon as it's almost done, by Yimahir Moshe, he hurries and he bows down. But again, this is not what's bothering Rashi. Because again, big picture. Why does Moshe hurry? What do you mean, why does he hurry? A Jew does things, bizrizus, with alacrity, as soon as possible, right away, similar to Avraham Avinu, when he has, when the Malachim come to him. It says twice that he, vela bokarotz Avraham, he runs to the cattle and he tells the people, maharu, hurry up. When he comes to the Akedah, he's taking Yitzchak on the altar. The pasuk says, "Vayashkim Avraham b'boker." He wakes up early in the morning. A Jew does things right away. As a matter of fact, Moshe, of course, does things right away, because he already learned from experience what the consequence of delay is. When he's coming down to Egypt, and his son hasn't yet had a bris, so he is actually punishable by death. The snake begins to swallow him up. Why Al Shinis Rashi? Because he delayed in making the bris for his son. So we can assume that that Moshe from now on and from that point on continues to act with great zrizus, great immediacy. And we would only anticipate that he would bow down right away. And in addition to the big picture question that Rashi cannot be explaining to us why Moshe hurries, we also have four diyukim, four close reads in Rashi, which indicate other ideas to us. Number one, look at again, you have the Rashi in front of you. If you do, it's in text one. The pasuk says, "Vayimahar Moshe, Moshe hurries," and Rashi records, "Kishero'o Moshe Shechina Oiveres," when Moshe sees the Shechina passing, "Vishama Kola Kriya," and he heard the sound of the call of the 13 attributes of mercy, of the Yud Gimel Zerachem. Now, if we're talking about at the end of the revelation, Moshe bows right away with immediacy, so the Rashi is seemingly out of order. It should say, having heard the sound of the call, and the Shekhinah is about to depart, he bows down. But Rashi says, when he sees the Shekhinah passing, and having heard the call, A. B is, Rashi tells us, Vishama koil hakriya. Moshe heard the sound of the call. What is the sound of the call? He heard the kriya. He heard the Hashem calling out the 13 attributes of mercy. Number three, a very interesting diuk. The pasuk actually records that Moshe hurried, bowed, and prostrated. What actually happens, in what Rashi tells us, is v'shama kol kriya, as soon as he hears the sound of the call, miyad, right away, vayishtachavu. He bows, he prostrates himself. He fully gets down on all, on all of his hands and face, and completely on the ground. What happened to the kido? What happened to the bowing before the prostrating? So, three diyukim, and finally one major question. Rashi told us, when Moshe sees the Shekhinah passing, wait a minute, sees the Shekhinah passing? Didn't we read over here in this text 3 that Hashem said, Lo yuchal lira ispana, you can't see my face. V'sakoisi kapi, I'm going to cover you with my hand. And v'risa sachoyra, you'll only see my back. What's going on? He sees the Shekhinah? Does he? So, having brought these five questions, we understand that Rashi is not explaining why Moshe hurried. We don't have to understand why, we don't have to explain why Moshe hurries. And the Rashi doesn't indicate that that's the case. And now we're going to redefine Rashi and redefine the entire experience. The question is not why Moshe bowed down, that we understand. The question is not why Moshe hurried, that too we understand. The question is, why does the Torah record that Moshe hurried? What is the indication over here? What is the Torah teaching us and telling us about this moment that we wouldn't have otherwise known? And therefore, Rashi tells us, the Torah is telling us something completely different than we would have assumed. Vayimaher Moshe, Moshe hurried, not at the end of the experience of having the Shekhinah pass and having heard the Yud Gimel Midah Sarachamim, does he hurry and bow? Vayimaher Moshe, he hurried and he bows right at the very beginning of this experience, right at the very beginning of this revelation. A close reading of the Rashi, again, text 1, Kishero'o Moshe Shekhino Iveres. As soon as he sees the Shekhinah about to pass, beginning to pass, at the very beginning of the revelation, Vishama Koil Hakriya, and he hears the sound of the call. He didn't even hear the call. The call didn't begin. He hears the sound. It's about to begin. Says Rashi, Miyad, right away at the beginning of the revelation, Vayishtachavu, he bows down. At the very beginning, the Shekhinah is about to pass. This is a unique revelation. Something that he has never seen before. This is the response to his request. Hareini nos kvoidecha, show me your glory. You know, one who sees the king doesn't bow at the end of the experience, after having been instructed. As soon as the king enters, right away he bows down at the very beginning of this revelation. And that's the Vayimahir Moshe. He hurries to bow as the revelation begins. Did he bow at the end in thanksgiving? Of course he did. The Torah doesn't tell us all the many times that he bows in thanksgiving. This is self-understood. Here the Torah is telling us how incredible this experience was and the uniqueness of this experience. That this is a unique experience, a unique revelation that causes him to bow as soon as it begins. So let's go back to the Rashi. Kishero Moshe Shekhino Iveres. As soon as he sees the Shekhinah passing, about to pass, we explain. It has passed. As soon as it begins to pass, what is he going to see? What does he see? Moshe sees a general glimpse of the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah Iveres. The Shekhinah about to pass. Close reading of text 3 tells us that while the Shekhinah is passing, you're going to be hidden and covered while it's passing before you. It also tells us, Lo yisuchal lirois ponai, you cannot see my face. But this is not a revelation of the face of Hashem. That's impossible. Can't see it and survive. It's also not watching the Shekhinah pass. It's seeing a general glimpse of the Shekhinah as it prepares to pass. Ro'o Shekhinah Iveres. This glimpse, this revelation, is a unique revelation that right away, Moshe bows down and as soon as it begins. And he bows so quickly, quicker than he's ever bowed before. There's the way a person bows when they know that the king is present, but they don't see him. There's the way that he bows when the king is enclosed in something else. The king is perhaps concealed in something but before him. But when one sees the king himself, there one bows in an incredibly different manner. Vayimahir Moshe, he hurriedly bows quicker than ever before. As a matter of fact, he bows so quickly that though normally when somebody bows, they first have kida, they first lower their head, and then they have hishtachava, then they spread out their hands and feet on the ground, called pishut yodayim v'raglayim. Here, the act is done in such hurry, in such immediacy, that we don't even notice the kida, we don't notice that he is bowing his head. Rather, Rashi says, miyad, right away, vayishtachavu, he is completely spread on his face, hands, legs, everything is completely on the floor. Because this is the level of revelation. It's a moment that he has never experienced before. Miyad vayishtachavu. So here we have the essential explanation that the Rebbe gave in that this seemingly short Rashi and Pasuk, which doesn't seem to need much explanation, is completely redefining what happened, telling us that Moshe Vayimaher bows prior or at the very beginning of the experience, bringing out and symbolizing how unique and significant this experience was and what Moshe's response is as soon as he has the experience. Now, of course, we have the Yein Sholtero. What's the message? What is the deeper aspect, the deeper meaning in this Rashi? Well, something very interesting happens here. You see, Moshe sees the Shekhinah. The first time, he sees it very generally, like we said, not while it passes, not the face of Hashem, but Ro'o Moshe Shekhinah. You see, the Shekhinah, Chassidus tells us in Tanya, and you have it here in the text five, it's called Shekhinah because it's Sheichenes Umislabeshes, because it's normally enclosed and it's normally resides within the worlds. It is normally hidden. It's always hidden. It's enclosed in the worlds. Here, Moshe actually sees the Shekhinah. And as soon as he sees the Shekhinah, before it passes, he takes the opportunity and he bows and he prostrates himself. Key messages of the Sikh, of course, are we don't need a reason to bow. It's just a natural act of thanksgiving. It doesn't need to be explained. We don't need to explain why we act quickly. That's the natural way of the Yid. And here we have a Rashi which is telling us how profound and unique this experience was. Thank you.